You live on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Happy MLK Day to you. Hope you had the day off. I didn't, but that's okay. We're here. We're not taking any days off.
No. Why would we take a day off for Martin Luther King? You know, not the greatest civil rights leader of our generation. Not our generation, of our, probably of our country.
Of our lifetime.
Yeah.
Of
our country's lifetime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we haven't been alive. I've never been alive with MLK.
That's right.
Never had any time with him.
Yeah.
Never met the guy.
Yeah. It only makes sense that we have to go to work when we celebrate such an incredible man. But it is what it is. We're here.
Yeah.
We're working.
Yeah. We do our part, you know.
To honor our guy, MLK, and, doing our part for civil rights.
Look at us. A bunch of different backgrounds, different ethnicities.
That's right.
Just what he wanted.
Yeah.
This is his dream.
This is what we
are
for.
We are living MLK's dream.
Yeah.
I think we're a long way from that, but we're
no, us three right now. No, not the us three right now. We are. Yeah.
That's just right.
Yeah.
Despite our socioeconomic backgrounds, despite our different races in this building, we come together to bring y'all.
I mean, you remember that part
show.
In his speech, the I Have a Dream, that three guys from Chico will get together and do a sports talk radio show.
I remember that was
a poignant line in the speech.
Right. And we are living it. All jokes aside, happy MLK Day, everybody. We always have the option to take this day off. I don't think in the 6 years, 7 years we've been doing the show, we ever have.
I mean, I don't think we've ever taken it off specifically just because of MLK Day. It might have been maybe something's come up, but like nothing is making me think that, we took this day off.
I think we've done it every year.
I feel like we have too. Yeah.
We've started the show with I Have a Dream speech in the past. We've done all sorts of stuff, but we're here regardless, and we appreciate y'all being here with us.
In my school growing up, we had to do a speech meet every year, so it was like kind of give every kid a chance to just embrace the idea that you're going to have to talk in front of people at some point in time. And I always loved Martin Luther King, not, obvious reasons, but I did his I Have a Dream speech and was able to win my first gold at that speech meet. So
let's go.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
It was a very nice moment for me.
And you were how old?
I was in eighth grade. Eighth grade.
Nice. Very nice.
So elementary, middle school. They put you through it. Everyone hated it.
Of course, yeah. I hated public speaking growing up,
But hey, it's a good thing to know. Everyone should.
And now I love it. Yeah. I mean, I don't love it. I don't mind doing it.
You should just be comfortable talking to strangers.
Exactly.
Have some confidence.
Well, shouts to you. Shouts to MLK. And shouts to you bringing home the gold, baby.
I wanted to just bring this day back onto me. Yeah. As opposed to Martin Luther King. Because, like, my dude gets enough recognition. Like, my guy, we get it.
I need my time, dude.
All right.
Yeah, where's my holiday?
Yeah, you know.
You've done so much for the people, Derek.
I didn't get assassinated, okay? The FBI don't want me dead.
There's snipers on the roof.
It's a nice reminder that in 1999, a civil court did find the U.S. government guilty for conspiring to assassinate MLK. But we often don't talk about that, so we're just going to move on, pretend everything is good in the world because we're here to talk sports.
Fake it till you make it, baby.
That's right. Let's start with Michigan before we get into NFL. Let's talk about Michigan. We had to run out of here last week in a hurry because we had to go watch our Michigan Wolverines get it done, win their first national title since, what was it, 97?
97, yeah. A shared national title at that.
With Nebraska, right?
And sharing is not caring, so that one sucked.
Well, it counts.
It counts, yeah, but I don't want to share anything.
It's different, though.
No, this is ours. We won this one.
For those of you new to the programming, Michigan is the only thing that unites any of our fandom. We don't agree, the collective group of us, we don't agree on any of our sports teams. Some of us are Niners, Giants fans. But other than that,
there is no one team that unites us.
And it's just Michigan.
Rudy technically isn't a Michigan fan. He's just a money fan.
Hold on. I root for Michigan.
Okay.
Will made me a Michigan fan, but I've always been roll tied. I love the money. I chase
exactly.
The money.
You're a money fan. Like, money is your.
Of course.
Is your queen, your king.
I thought Washington was going to win, I'd 100%. Against Michigan.
And I would be mad if you didn't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so thank you. Yeah, Rudy is money, and money was on Michigan's side.
Yes.
That's right. But I digress. Michigan won. So I just wanted to start there after this long year for Michigan with the cheating allegation and scandal. Our boy, what was his name? Connor.
Stallions.
Stallions, yeah. The vacuum salesman, basically going on the sidelines, reporting back signs, all this stuff.
My dude went to Navy just to learn how to cheat for Michigan.
That's right.
That's amazing.
That's like commitment right there.
That dude should be in the Hall of Fame for Michigan for here on out.
Oh, 100%.
I think any organization would be lucky to have a Connor Stallions on there.
100%.
That guy is a ride or die.
He dedicated his whole life, his whole career to that.
I mean, he has a Michigan manifesto.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy.
You know?
One of the most incredible things from this year was the persecution complex that Michigan fans had we were cheating. It's okay. You could just take it. We got the dub. Keep cheating. Keep winning, baby.
Yeah, I mean that is the world that we're in right now when it comes to college football. You got to do what you can. This is a tough place to win.
Yeah,
it is fleeting. It is, especially with the transfer portal now. It is tougher than ever. So you got to do what you can, and cheating gets it faster.
Yeah,
and shouts to Jim Harbaugh for finally coming to fruition. You've been at Michigan for quite some time. You didn't have the most luxurious start. Took some time. But you beat down Ohio State. You've been beating down Ohio State 3 years in a row. We love you for that. That's pretty much why we love you.
Yep.
This is just a nice little cherry on top. So thank you for all that.
So it looks like this is his crescendo after 9 years. He's probably going to be stepping away, get away from any of those NCAA violations, and just keep it pushing. Try to go win your Super Bowl at the next level.
There is a you never know. I mean, just because he right now has the world in his hands. He can go anywhere he wants,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. I take that back. He might not anymore because of our good old friend Bill Belichick no longer being the head coach of the New England Patriots.
It's probably him and then Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh is definitely nice, but he doesn't quite have the same luxury he probably thought he did, where he was like, you know what? I'm going to be the number one talker for every team out there right now.
No matter what you say about Harbaugh, he does win at every level. The only thing he's missing is a Super Bowl.
Yeah, not only wins everywhere he went, he built everywhere that he went, and he won it that way. He didn't just jump into it like a baller team at San Diego, Stanford, and the Niners.
Yeah, he made Stanford a powerhouse.
100%.
That's crazy.
And he built from top to bottom. So that's
and his players like him.
Yeah.
They really do care about that guy, and that's an important thing when you have in a sport like that where so much of it is built on your toughness, your mentality that you have out there. And when you have a little bit of extra of like, I want to do this for the giffer right now. I want to put it on the line for my manager because I really want this guy to win. That gives you something extra, and Harbaugh kind of provides that type of that culture around where he's like, I am your fearless leader. I'll be at the forefront of the the front lines taking bullets with you if I could. I'm just, have to be on the sideline.
Harbaugh, certified weirdo, which is fine. But it seems like he wears people a little bit thin at the end of the day. But he did do 9 years in Michigan again.
9 years?
9 years.
Damn.
And beating Ohio State 3 years in a row after just getting blasted by them for years and years and years. As a Michigan fan, that's what I needed. And then to cap that off with a national championship, cheating or not, I don't care.
Dude, everyone cheats. Everyone's stealing signs. It just happened that the NCAA wanted to go after them.
We're just better organized is what it comes down to. We're better at taking notes. Like, that's the problem when it comes down to. It's like,
honestly,
I'm sorry that we're organized, that we have our stuff together to be able to watch what you guys are doing and analyze it. We're not in your rooms. We're not recording anything in your secret private rooms or anything.
We're not
this
going
is all
into your locker room.
Information that's out there in the public that we could do, and we did it better than everyone else. Probably not better than everyone else. We just got caught doing it. Everyone was looking at us because they couldn't beat us. They're like, what makes them so good? Oh, what everyone else is doing, we're going to blame it on them right now. So that's what the Big Ten tried to do, in Ohio State in particular, because they can't beat us. So they tried to tear us down. So Ohio State, this championship is sweeter than ever. Suck on it.
You're doing a lot for me saying that Michigan has a persecution complex that was earned.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, we earned it. Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Self-entitled persecution complex, right? The world is against us.
Always will be.
Because let's face it, the media prefers Ohio State over Michigan.
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
And
oh,
it's,
yeah.
Can we stop having Kirk Herbstreit
Thank you, him. On the call for Michigan games? My God, it drives me nuts.
His dog's cool, but you're not cool, bro, all right?
No, I hate his dog.
No, his dog's pretty cool.
I'm not denying the dog is nice. I just hate the fact that he got a dog, and the only reason why he got a dog was to give himself some type of likability, and it's just like, ugh. He's abusing that dog.
After his dog, he exploded, yeah.
He shouldn't be allowed to get one. He was just trying to be cool.
Clickbait.
Yeah, exactly. It's all it was. That dog is clickbait. That should have been his name. Clickbait. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That should have been it. Yeah, you're right.
That is 100% what Kirk Herbstreit was trying to do right now. He annoys me. He's too much a by the book type of guy, except when he comes to Michigan, because he shows his Ohio State allegiance. And it's disgusting to witness on my TV. So
yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But shouts to our squad. I know it was a week ago, but again, being that it's a team that we all love and we get to celebrate together, that was a pretty cool moment. So shouts to them.
You're welcome for 10 minutes on something that happened a week ago.
That's right. listen, to my Auntie Ariel, I'm sorry. You might want to...
How about them Cowboys?
I might want to turn this show off for about 5 minutes or so.
Let's go, baby. Oh, man. Here we go.
One thing, nothing. Okay, we all love Michigan, but nothing unites this group more than hating. And one thing that we love to hate on is the Dallas Cowboys. And boy, did they give us plenty of ammo this past weekend.
I shouldn't say it's the Dallas Cowboys so much as the Dallas Cowboys world. Not so much the team. It's everything around that organization. Yeah. The fandom, the ownership, the stadium, the way those fans rush in every single time. And they show that video of them opening the doors and everyone's clamoring.
He lost his phone when he was running in and he got kicked around.
I'm just saying, at some point in time, I'm surprised someone hasn't been stampeded to death in that moment right there.
Oh, 100%, there's thousands of fans rushing at once.
But either way, it's just an easy organization to hate on. They have brought it upon themselves. And yet again...
That was embarrassing.
It was. The fact
at home against the seven seed, that's...
Yes.
You can't lose like that. Listen, any given Sunday, I get it, but you are going against technically it's his rookie season, but he's been in the league for some years
now. Yeah, but it's his first time starting from week one to
week whatever. First playoff start, right?
First playoff start. First playoff win.
First season starting
as a... as a starter. Yeah. You let them come into your house and get thumped.
Jordan Love looked amazing out there.
He looks great.
He might have been wearing number 12 with the last name Rogers on his back, because doing his back foot throws were just on point. The guy did not get fazed. He did not get fazed by anything. Unfortunately, the Dallas Cowboys, you showed up in no way, not offensively. Dak Prescott was awful from the get-go, awful. And yes, that defense was terrible and they got burnt, but Dak Prescott did not give that team a chance in hell the way he came out there. But that defense was just obviously getting torched when it came to the secondary. So shouts to Green Bay, 7th seed. Sorry, Brad, you're not here to have this moment right now. But this is that was amazing.
That was beautiful.
And the fact that right now the Green Bay Packers have more playoff wins in AT&T Stadium than the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Is amazing. They won two of them against the Dallas Cowboys, and then they won their third against the Steelers when they won the Super Bowl there.
That's right.
So they have three victories in Jerry World, while the Cowboys have two.
Yep.
Only two that's victories awesome. At AT&T Stadium.
Oh, that's great.
And it's just... I wish there was a Jerry cam that entire game. Halfway through, I wish we just could have had a camera just on Jerry Jones the entire time. Yeah, just to see. I wanted to see every facial.
I'm surprised it wasn't down there at the sidelines ready to knock Mike McCarthy out. That would have been epic.
They probably wouldn't have allowed him on there.
Yeah, because he probably would have.
Honestly, he probably was like, I'm going to be up in this bird's eye view so I can know what players to get rid of right off the bat, you know?
I don't know. What'd you guys think about the move of Jerry Jones saying we'll see how this playoff run goes?
Yeah, he's gone.
Before,
I mean, that doesn't help Mike McCarthy at all.
Getting blown out at home. He was already fired. I think if they didn't make it to the Super Bowl, obviously they're not going to make it to the Super Bowl, but Jerry's eyes, I think, if Mike McCarthy didn't take this team, a 12-5 team, to the Super Bowl, Mike McCarthy was going to get fired.
I would say, I think he had to make a conference championship.
At least
I think that would have done it. If he lost to the Niners, that would have been like, okay, he lost to a Niner team that's supposed to be really good. But That being said, I've never understood the hype around Mike McCarthy to begin with of why they think he's such a great coach. And sure, he could keep a team together. He has his Green Bay years. But those Green Bay years in the back end were sparse. They were very light. Didn't have much success. And he had a guy by the name of Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. Yeah. So it's just like that's
great teams.
It's not a great look for the guy.
No, he's a great coach during the regular season. He's shown that with Green Bay, with the Cowboys, but he's not that coach to take a team in the playoffs, to win a game in the playoffs, just like the coach that the Chargers had back in the day with LT and Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates. Great regular season.
Norv Turner?
No. Is it
Marty Schottenheimer?
Yes, thank you.
Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
Great coach during the regular season. Just couldn't win in the playoffs.
Who's having a worst week this week, or worst weekend? Was it Aaron Rodgers or McCarthy?
Ooh. I mean, it has to be McCarthy.
Well, Aaron Rodgers in the pop culture world is getting absolutely smeared, but I think in sports world, it's got to be Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Just like, just because like his name is now like... At his press conference, probably, you know, just asking him about what his future is going to be, what he thinks. And that's just a terrible place to be for anybody, you know? Are you going to be fired tomorrow? Do you think you do such a terrible job today? Do you think you're going to be fired tomorrow?
Have you been fired already?
Yeah, and you've got millions of people watching you right now. So Mike McCarthy, I would not want to be in those shoes whatsoever. And Aaron Rodgers just does it to himself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Mike McCarthy, he just unfortunately is just not a big-time head coach anymore.
Well, when you think about it, Aaron Rodgers had plenty of complaints about this organization. He was upset when they drafted Jordan Love, constantly complained about the talent around him, and now this organization moves on and makes a deeper run. Now, obviously, we don't know what would have happened had Aaron Rodgers stayed healthy, but the fact of the matter is Aaron Rodgers missed basically the entire season but four snaps, and Jordan Love looks like the second coming of Aaron Rodgers and is taking that team back to the divisional round playoffs. So,
I mean, that's definitely a bad look for Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to like that, obviously, because he is someone that, you know, he loves the spotlight. But I think he kind of saw, like, you know, knew what was going to happen in Green Bay. Not to say that he could see what Jordan Love was going to be this good, but I think he knew that it was like, you know what, this is going to be like the Favre situation right now. You know, I can move on and still have success elsewhere. And Favre almost led Minnesota to the Super Bowl.
Yep,
that's right.
So he could have been. He was. It's still there for him to still do it.
Still
and
possible.
And especially with that Achilles, it's going to be a nice little check mark that he can, little box he can check off. And says, I overcame a huge injury to come on. So yes, it's not a good look, but just like another one extra hurdle to overcome.
Yeah. Rudy, how do you think the Niners match up with the Packers next weekend?
Packers are hot. They've been hot. They've been playing well, all sides of the football. But at the same time, it's the Niners, baby. The spread's -10 for a reason. I think we win by 20. It's going to be a good game at first. But it's time to come and play big boy football, because the Niners got squad over there, and those boys are hungry. And we had 2 weeks off, which is kind of sketch, but we needed that time to get healthy.
You guys do own Green Bay as well, so that helps. That helps
at home too. Yeah,
but it's not Aaron Rodgers.
It's not.
That's the only problem.
Which
I think was always
a lot better.
Which is Green Bay's curse, to be honest. Aaron Rodgers comes into his hometown team. Not hometown team, but, you know,
the team he
grew up watching and rooting for. And it's, you know, as close to Chico as you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a good game.
It should be a good game, but
I hope it's not. I hope the Niners run away with it. I do not love the idea of it's the rest versus Russ argument, but hopefully the rest, you get guys like Trent Williams and some of those dudes who needed
everyone. CMC.
Yeah.
Juwan Jennings.
Yeah. Yeah, is Juwan Jennings starting, or is that still undecided as of right now?
I haven't seen anything yet.
Okay. I mean,
hopefully, he's been out for, what, 2-3 weeks since that concussion?
Yeah.
So,
we'll see. Just hope they could jump out to an early lead, but we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be a fun matchup. Either way, it's going to be a fun matchup.
Green Bay Niners, that's just a classic matchup in the playoffs.
Yeah, two teams who get up and down the field.
As long as they
run
the ball.
And I love hating on the Packers, so this is...
Don't we all?
I was rooting for them this weekend, which felt weird.
But it's against the Cowboys. Shout out to our boy Pepe Adam. Sorry, dog. I know you're listening.
Another year. Another year for our boy. Cowboys fans. Oh, it's got to be It's got to be rough out there. Speaking of disappointments, let's stay with the wild card weekend and Miami Dolphins. What happened there? Obviously, they're missing a lot of power on defense, but you had the opportunity about a month ago at home, Monday Night Football. You're up 14-7, fourth quarter against the Titans at home, and you let the Titans come in and get that win. And then last weekend at home for the division, you let the Bills end up rolling you at home. And it's just, this team came in with so much promise, so much hype around them. I was saying that I thought that they would be there at the end, and they don't even make it past the wild card, don't even get a host a home game, and then you have to go on the road. A team from Miami has to go play in minus 27 degree weather.
On cement, dude.
Taylor Swift is swag surfing, and that's what you get. It's just, you had to handle business. That I thought that was as disappointing for a fan base as you really could. You know, that's about as disappointing as a season can turn out.
I really feel that, like, great cities, like, beautiful cities don't deserve championships. You know?
Go on.
Like San Diego. Too nice of a city. You don't have anything that's, like, if your team loses, that's going to be terrible. But you're still in San Diego.
Still live in
nice
paradise,
area.
Yeah.
Okay? You got great beaches and amazing Mexican food. Okay?
Great weather.
All the above.
Throughout the whole year.
Miami. Nice area right there. Lovely women. Gorgeous beaches.
Ferraris.
Warm water to walk into.
Yeah.
Your team loses, I'll go to the beach.
Who
no
cares?
Big deal.
Yeah.
Obviously, you think, oh, L.A., that's too nice. No, L.A. has got a dirty side to it. Very dirty side to it. It's disgusting in L.A. New York has got a lot of edge. Tons of rats out there. They deserve championships. Boston, oh, my God, disgusting. Deserves championships. You know? San Francisco, poop everywhere. Deserves championships.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when your city's too nice.
Detroit, all those.
Yeah, Detroit, terrible place. You deserve championships.
Yeah, all those hardworking, you know? Blue-collar cities.
Pittsburgh, disgusting, rough city, deserves championships.
I like
you know?
That.
Portland, you're trying too hard. You did it to yourself. You don't deserve a championship. You know, you brought on your own problems, I feel.
Yep. So,
too many strip clubs in Portland.
But, well, yeah.
So, dirty cities, yes, deserve championships.
Yeah.
Beautiful cities, no.
No, like Miami, it's just they're too cute. They're too nice of a city, you know?
Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like... You think of it, you know, across the world right there. Paris, too nice of a city. They don't deserve championships.
Okay.
Paris Saint-Germain hasn't won a Champions League in forever. Granted, they wing Ligue 1, but, like, it's different. That's soccer world, but still.
Different.
Yeah, I just feel like nice cities. Your team doesn't, you know, hang on to it. Buffalo, tough place to live. You deserve some championships. You haven't gotten any. You deserve them, though. You know? Minnesota. Yeah. It's a tough
cold.
Place to live, but it's like also everyone's too nice up there.
Yeah.
You're too nice to deserve championships. Everyone says sorry. You know, Canada, that's why you haven't won a cup in forever. You're too nice up there. Have some edge. Stop saying sorry.
Right.
Run over somebody and mean it.
That's
you know?
One hell of a theory. And I
got you.
I like it.
Don't pull over and say sorry. I killed
no.
you.
Yeah.
Wanted to mention or just ask you guys. So Miami's got to pay Tua this offseason. Tua. When everything's on time and his reads are there, he threw for more passing yards than any other quarterback in the league this year. When you disrupt that, when you get to the quarterback, it's a lot harder for him. He's not very athletic, but he's the future of that franchise right now.
He's a lefty, though.
Yeah.
Lefties shouldn't be quarterbacks.
Steve Young was a lefty.
Still, he's one of the exceptions.
That's
how many else
one,
out
though.
There? You know?
Yeah, that's it, huh?
I think there's a couple like one. Old school. I wasn't
as of like right now in the league.
Yeah, nobody.
Tua.
Yeah, it was like Doug Flutie or something was a lefty too. I want to say.
That's a good point.
Tim Tebow was a lefty.
But do you? So my question is, do you pay? They don't have a choice, right? They got to pay Tua
at least for another year because I don't think there's another quarterback out there right now. And I hate using and saying this dude's name, Kirk Cousins. Besides him, there's not. The quarterback market right now is pretty slim.
I mean, I'd take Kirk Cousins over Tua just because, you know, righty versus lefty, just right off the bat, right then and there. He's got it, you know? Not to mention, there's a very good chance, I can say very good chance, but there's also a chance, too, the Bears, that number one pick, they might stick with Justin Fields.
Yeah.
That pick could be available. You never know.
I think they're
Probably not going to do that. That's a lot.
I think they're trading him.
But they're not going to. But at the same point in time, not to trade Tua, not sign Tua, at least, you know.
Sign and trade.
Sign and trade, something to that degree, yeah.
And Fields. I mean, anything could happen.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason. We'll talk about the coaches here in a second. But before we do that, we have to show some love to the Detroit Lions.
Oh, yeah.
First playoff win since 1992. I mean, I can't even fathom going that long without a playoff win. It's just incredible. Jared Goff gets his revenge against his former team, gets shipped out for Stafford, which worked out for both teams, honestly. Stafford gets his Super Bowl, so do the L.A. Rams.
Shouts to Jared Goff having more playoff victories than Matthew Stafford for the Detroit Lions.
Is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
He has one.
Yeah. He got one. Stafford, none.
Yep, that's right.
Also, I don't know if you see Stafford's press conference afterwards when somebody was asking him about what he thought of the Detroit and them winning a playoff game. He didn't say anything about Detroit. He said he's happy for the team. So the person asked him about the city of Detroit, what he thought about the city of Detroit winning.
Damn.
And he just said, I'm happy for the team. So my dude does not like Detroit.
I mean, he did get booed like no other when he walked in. But at the same time, he never really did anything for
that
team.
He got traded.
Yeah.
No, I know. But what I'm saying, like the time that he was there, they didn't win anything. It wasn't his fault.
I mean, he was a quarterback.
I know, but the whole team sucked.
And he was a pretty quality quarterback, too.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't have a full team around him.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
yeah, that is. Well,
yeah. I was just like, you know, people in Detroit, they're miserable. I mean, every single time they, you know.
He doesn't care about, I'm good with the team. Congratulations to them, but at the same time, how many players did he play with?
But at the same point in time.
Thomas Johnson.
I'm just going to say.
Well, the Tatter on the team right now.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, there's probably. He wasn't traded that long ago from them.
It was like 3 years ago.
3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
There's probably some heads there.
Last thing on this wild card weekend. Just wanted to give a shout out to Derek's boy, CJ Stroud.
Oh. Hey! Dude, he was balling out there.
Balling.
Man, I wanted him to fall so bad. I wanted him to fail and just be terrible, but no. He's the next best thing. He's going to be there for the next probably 10 years, and I'm going to have to live with the fact that I take a lefty over a 5'8 quarterback. That's what I would say. Okay? All right? I'll take Tua over Bryce Young. I know it's still young for Bryce Young, but at the same point, my God, what C.J. Stroud is doing is phenomenal. So congrats to him for just being an absolute stud out there and just slinging the rock around and torching
that great Cleveland defense.
Yeah, Cleveland's defense was terrible on the road, and they proved it yet again.
Yep.
Sorry, Joe Flacco. It was a nice story. That would have been awesome if you could have somehow done it. But you lived up to your reputation, throwing interceptions.
Not only interceptions, back-to-back
pick-sixes. Back-to-back pick-sixes.
That is brutal. He can never come back from that.
And,
you know, your boy took the Browns. And after the first pick-six, all right, let's regroup. No, what are we going to do next? The pick six,
but again, shouts to Texans, but in particular that offensive line of the Texans right now. Keeping Myles Garrett, in particularly Laremy Tunsil on Myles Garrett, was doing absolute work. Myles Garrett, supposed to be the amazing defensive player of the year possibility, was absolutely shut out.
Yes,
they did absolutely nothing. CJ Stroud was just all over the place.
So to your point earlier, going back to Tua, sorry, I'm just going over the left-handed quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Tua might be the greatest of all time, if not the second best.
Okay.
You have Tim Tebow, Matt Leinart.
Done.
Chris Sims.
Mm.
The best you got probably is Boomer Esiason.
Wow.
He's a Super Bowl winner at least, right?
Yeah, he did win with the Bengals, right?
No, they didn't win.
They never did win. That's right. Really? They lost. They always lost.
Huh.
Yep.
But either way,
White, if you remember Pat White.
I mean,
Pat
obviously White. You said Steve Young. Steve Young is going to be your greatest lefty of all time.
The best one.
Yeah, he is. But, like, again, that's, like, the only one. And after that, it's a very short list.
And the quarterback for Washington, isn't he a lefty, too? That's coming out?
Is he?
Penix, whatever
Penix
his name
Junior,
is.
Penix Junior,
I think he is a lefty.
He is a lefty.
Yeah, he is.
All right.
So there you go. Yeah. There's another
one. Don't draft him.
All right. Towards the board.
According to Derek's rule here, do not draft him. Real quick. Belichick gone. Pete Carroll gone. Mike Vrabel gone.
Nick Saban gone.
Retired. Crazy time. Last week
all
was
in one
nuts.
Day.
Yeah.
A 24-hour period. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, well, Pete Carroll, Nick Saban one day.
Yeah.
And Belichick was within that time frame of that.
Yeah, the very next day.
Or the next day, whatever. Yeah. That was wild.
That was really crazy.
Yeah, at the same time, all of us, we're just getting old, dude. Those guys are 72 years old. You know, it's like, it was going to happen, but no one saw Pete Carroll at all. Bill Belichick, yeah, that was in the works ever since October, September, when the team wasn't doing well.
There's a lot of rumblings.
Yeah, and Saban, damn.
Hey, man, gotta give it to Michigan. We made Nick Saban retire, so.
That's right.
Shouts to the boys in blue.
Saban retired, and their Washington head coach leaving.
And we'll say, once again, Michigan, welcome to the SEC. No Saban.
That's right.
Yeah, we two at the right time. We did it good. Go blue.
Go blue, baby. All right. This is a lot of football.
There might be another coach leaving here soon. Sirianni's about to get canned if they lose this game.
You think so? What's the score currently?
13-0.
Wow.
Tampa Bay, if you're going to pick up on it.
Oh, man. A lot of football there for you. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico People Powered Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the Foothills, and beyond. Jerome, Derek, Rude Dog in the house on Talking About Practice. That man, Brad, had to miss today's show. He's working a ridiculously long shift, so we're complaining about working on MLK Day. That guy, 16 hours today, so shouts to our boy. Sorry he couldn't be here. Want to give a shout to our friends over at Quicksilver Courier Service. Established in 2010, Quicksilver Courier Service has the flexibility to provide a broad range of delivery services for private individuals as well as for legal, medical, and business professionals. Visit ChicoCourier.com for quality 24/7 delivery service. Shouts to our underwriters. Shouts to you. Appreciate y'all hanging with us on this Monday evening. For those of us not watching football and kicking it with us, we appreciate y'all. I think it's time for Derek to get y'all caught up on what's going on around the world. Derek Isimaki has the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isimaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, as always, my news stories, got to look for the good ones. And, you know, best place is always to go to Florida. So, once again, we take you to Florida right now, people. Now, if you think of wildlife in Florida, alligators most likely come to mind. Swamp, little swamp puppies, you know? Those ones,
swamp puppies.
They'll get you, you know? Little death rolls, death spirals.
Yep.
Got to love a good little gator action. I've actually held a gator one time. Yeah, baby gator. I went to their skin is very weird.
I was gonna say
it's trippy. It's very trippy. Very cool though.
Is it rough?
Yes, very rough. It's like a smooth rough.
Okay.
It's like very bumpy, obviously, well,
sure,
scales.
I'm
but
sure
like
the bellies are pretty smooth, but on top.
Yeah, on top. It's like a weird exterior.
Huh.
So shouts to gators, crocodiles, caimans, all of the above. If you're a swamp puppy, you're a swamp puppy.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about swamp puppies here in this Florida story. We're actually talking monkeys. That's right. A little rhes macaws, to be precise. Now, these rhes macaws are not native to Florida. Like many species in this world right now, been shipped around. Brought to other places to provide a little more exotic feel to the area.
Okay.
To attract more people to it. Because you're now seeing something that wasn't there. And that's what these rhes macaws were supposed to be doing when a owner of a glass-bottom boat operation decided to bring some macaws and bring them onto the Silver River, an island on the Silver River, to help attract the tourists to the area. Now, when you bring some foreign species into an ecosystem,
it's going to throw it off.
It can throw it off.
Yeah.
Either going to hamper it.
Or destroy
it. Destroy it or thrive in it.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the rhes macaws have thrived and kind of destroyed it.
They took over.
They took it over. They are producing like rabbits out there. But it's worse than that because these rhes macaws have been tested positive for herpes B.
Oh.
That's right.
Whoa.
We got herpes monkeys out there, guys.
Damn.
So careful.
Petting those monkeys.
Careful coming in contact with these monkeys. These Reese macaw monkeys, as you could get herpes from them.
Yeah, just hanging out and the monkey just jumps on the shoulder. Oh, there you go. You got
Next thing you know, you got a virus.
Damn.
Are these like spider monkeys, smaller monkeys?
They're smaller. Yeah, macaws aren't massive monkeys. They're not going to be like a chimpanzee that's going to rip your limb from limb.
Yeah.
But it is said it's a more rare situation for you to get it, but still possible.
Yeah, I don't want that possibility.
No, you don't. So, no monkey touching, y'all. No monkey business. Leave them alone.
Yep.
And probably should start killing the macaws at this point in time.
Yeah. I mean, Santa being from Florida, I guarantee at least 10 people have herpes from these monkeys.
I wonder if someone from Florida, too, has probably tried to violate some of these monkeys, and that's how they found out. That's probably what it was.
Yikes.
A little bestiality.
Okay.
Things change quickly. That's the news, y'all.
All right, very good. All right, wish me luck. I'm going to try to get Aaron on the phone
here.
There
you go. Nice, over under 2.5 tries.
Whenever over. Brad's out, this is always scary. So let's try.
Attempt number one. Aaron?
Aaron, are you with us?
Oh,
yeah. let's go.
First try.
All right. That's exciting.
That's why you always fade Rudy.
All right, so each week we bring our foreign correspondent Aaron on to cover the sports we're not paying enough attention to. And currently the Australian Open is going on. So first of all, welcome Aaron and catch us up to speed.
Yeah, we've got the Australian Open, which is exciting because it's nice to think that not all of the world is in, blizzard warnings, storms, and, minus 13 degrees. So this is a big one this year. I think we had some big players back. Naomi Osaka was back after a 15 or 16 month maternity leave. We got Novak Djokovic, who is going for the Golden Slam, which is winning all four and via the gold medal at the Olympics. So we've got some big, exciting things happening. Naomi Osaka was bounced in the first round, but I think she's, she seems much more upbeat. So we'll see how her career continues. Coco Gauff won her first round, so she's on to the next. And in the men's division, we've got a lot of up-and-comers. Obviously, Federer is gone and Nadal is not competing this time. But we've got guys like Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner who've got real potential. So it's shaping up to be an exciting Australian Open.
I love it. Americans represent. Let's get one of these.
Dude.
You know?
Come on.
Do you have anything else for us on the Australian Open or anything that's just burning you that you want to share with our audience?
We're at an Olympics countdown, essentially. Summer Olympics coming this year. I haven't mentioned it yet, and I'm disappointed in myself, but I am super excited for this summer.
It's in Paris, right?
That is in Paris.
Yes.
There we go. All right. Is there any new events that they're adding to the Summer Olympics this year that you're looking forward to?
I think they've got some skateboarding stuff that they're adding, but to be perfectly honest, I'm a little behind. I'm not sure.
No problem. We got plenty of time to to get to that. All right. Cool. If we get to the questions now.
Absolutely.
All right. So we've been flooded with them. I've been trying to go through them, but let's just knock these out. All right, so first one is too soon to get married. Hello, friends of TBP, former collegiate swimmer checking in. Ayo, what's up, Michael Phelps? I know marriage has been a pretty popular topic on the show for life advice. It's bad life advice, but for life advice, probably because two of your distinguished members of the show got married recently, so I apologize in advance for yet another marriage question. But my friends and I have been debating this issue. A good friend of ours, we will call him Sam, has been discussing proposing to his girlfriend. We all like his girlfriend for the most part, but we barely know her. They met all the way back in June of 2023. That is not a typo. They've literally only known each other for 6 months. Our friend Sam has always wanted to get married young and start a family, so we are concerned that instead of getting married for all the right reasons, his girlfriend, we'll call Sarah, just checks all the boxes for him to get closer to that goal of starting a young family. We are all in our mid-20s, so it seems a bit young to get married, but not completely unreasonable. We are just concerned that getting married this early into a relationship would be a mistake. Sarah started talking about rings with Sam 2 months into the relationships, into their relationship, which seems like a huge red flag. Sam hasn't yet purchased a ring, but has already asked his brother, his older brother, who is married, to help him go ring shopping. Our group is pretty close, and we have discussed this together on a couple of occasions, but have yet to pull the trigger about dissuading Sam from popping the question this early on. What would be the proper way to approach this subject? So, Aaron, as always, when it comes to being smart and giving good advice, we will we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of what we always go with is talk to your friends. You know, don't do it in a confrontational way. Even if there is a lot of you, you know, if it's a group of five or six of you, maybe just take one or two people with you so it doesn't feel like he's being ganged up on. And just tell him, hey, we're concerned about you. You're our, you know, one of our best friends, and it seems like things are moving a little fast. And, you know, maybe he'll have a good reason, maybe he won't, but, you know, I think the goal is to just be a good friend and be there for your friend.
I think I would, I agree with everything you say, what you said. I would just add, if they don't live together, I would start there. And that way you're not necessarily saying, hey, don't get married, but hey, before you get the ring and all, why don't you guys try living together to see how that is? We all know someone, not going to say who it is, but we're all very good friends with someone who didn't live with their now wife prior to getting married. And it's a huge adjustment. No matter what, living with a roommate is a giant adjustment. And when you mix a relationship and marriage, it can get complicated. So I think I would go that route. You guys got anything on this one?
Yeah, I would just see what your boy is feeling because, you know, it's his decision ultimately. And if he does feel passionate about this lady and thinks that this is they're both in the same page right there, then who are, we shouldn't be the one to stop, you know, happiness
yes,
in
agreed.
Front of them, you know? But just like I said, have that conversation. If he gives you that good answer of like, yo, I love this lady. I know that I want to spend the rest of my life with her. I want to figure it out. Then, hey, the heart wants what the heart wants right there. And you should not be the one to get in the way of it because you feel the timeline isn't right for you.
That's
it's
right.
not your timeline.
Yep.
But again, have that conversation. See what the answers he gives you and then go from there. Don't be so quick to think that it has to be a certain amount of time before you actually get married. That's just society trying to put norms on you. Do what you want in your life right there.
Yep, I was going to say exactly what you just said. It's your life. If you love the girl, by all means, go for it, man.
Yeah, the
divorce is always an option.
The one thing I would mention is I know some people find it weird. Like, you're young. Why are you so stuck on getting married and wanting to start a family? One of my best friends, since I can remember, I've known him since first grade, always wanted to be a young dad, start a family early. He was one of my first friends to get married. He's still happily married with two kids. Also, he always tells me all the time that don't have kids. You and Steph are doing great. Do not worry about having kids. You don't want these problems. So, yeah. So there you go. There you have it. I think we've spent enough time on this topic. Let's move on to the next one. Our friend sucks to golf with. What's up, gents and lady? Of TBP, big fan, and blah, blah, blah. I will get right to the point. I have a group of guys that get together, that golf together. There are a total of eight of us, and once a year we do a big golf trip together. In the group of eight, we have a wide range of talent on the course, everything from a scratch golfer to a couple guys that are hyped just to break 100. The way the group breaks down, we typically play a four-way scramble, and the winner wins a little bit of cash and a trophy for every year. We've been doing this for the past 8 years. We team the best dudes up with the worst dudes, and it usually works out that everyone is pretty close at the end of the round. However, one member of the group, we'll call him Mark, sucks to golf with. He enjoys golf and plays often enough that he isn't the worst golfer of the group, but he isn't very good either. This wouldn't be a problem except for the fact that he absolutely loses his temper every time we play. I have personally seen him throw a 9-iron into a water hazard, kick his golf bag, slam his putter into the green creating divots, break a club in half, throw a golf ball onto a highway, and so on. This would be slightly more acceptable behavior if he is remotely good at golf, but he isn't, and he doesn't even actively work on getting any better. He plays a couple of rounds per month, but never goes to the range or works with a golf pro. We have brought this to his attention in the past, how he is bringing the group vibes from a collective 10 to a 2 when he acts out, but no change in the behavior. Of course, his antics get worse the more he drinks. He has the more drinks he has on the course that day, and by hole 18, he's usually hammered and filled with rage. The odd thing is, Mark is a pretty great guy and a decent hang in every other setting. Mark never acts this way when we are at the bars drinking or over at a friend's house putting a few back, but somehow golf brings out the absolute worst in him. When we do our annual trip, we always argue who will get stuck with Mark because he has earned a pretty terrible reputation amongst the group. To make our situation worse, we recently started playing with one of my guys from work. He isn't great at golf, but certainly good enough to play with us, and he is an awesome time. He has great stories, he's funny, and when he shanks a shot into the trees or out of bounds, he typically just laughs it off. I want to replace Mark with my buddy from work, and some of the guys in our group who have played with my work buddy agree, but we feel bad for kicking Mark out of the group, as he has been part of this trip and part of our friend group for even longer. How would you handle this situation? Oh, man.
Bye, Mark. Later, dude. If the whole crew is, you know, complaining, by all means, and if you've told them already several times, sorry, dude. And he's shown time after time he's not going
to
change.
Yeah, if you've had that conversation with him, like, you need to kind of calm down out there is one way to do it. Another way to do it would just kind of, like, make a game out of it with Mark. Like, just make him the butt of every joke. Make him just feel so uncomfortable that he's going to either stop hanging out with you guys or stop being an ass. And just be like, oh, how many times is Mark going to throw his club into the pond today? How many shanks will Mark have? Like, make over-unders on it. Like, make him the bet every single time.
I like that.
Like, will Mark, how many F words will Mark scream out today? You know, over under 52 or something like that, you know? So just make Mark the one realize that how much of a of an ass he's being out there on the course, and just kind of rubbing his face in there. If he's your friend, he'll understand. He'll like, okay, you guys are right. I'm being a terrible person. I'll adjust my attitude. And if he's not, he's going to probably stop hanging out with you guys, and problem solved.
Yeah,
I like it. Aaron, you got anything for our friend here?
Yeah, I mean, if he's not, I guess the hard part is if he is a really good friend, maybe you give him an ultimatum, but that feels pretty lame. But if you're trying to salvage the friendship, then, you know, maybe sit down and have a very serious talk with him. And, you know, that if this year he doesn't clean up his act, then you replace him. Maybe that'll
send
a message to him.
I think the ultimatum's a good idea, and I also think I like your idea, Derek. Just bring it to his attention and make a whole thing out of it. Like, every time he flips out, he's got to pay, you know, $5 or whatever, something like that, to where it's like, dude, we're all over it. And one of my good friend's father used to tell me, you don't have to be good at golf. You could be bad at golf, just don't be a bad time, right? And that's the whole thing. If you're not a professional, there's no need to take it all that serious. You know, just go out there, have fun. But yeah, I think your suggestion of kind of shaming Mark into better behavior, and
I think it will work. For if you're on golf courses, we know how golf courses are.
Yeah,
there's a lot of gambling and betting and just tomfoolery going on in general. Just make his tomfoolery the wheel that turns the bicycle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with it. Last one here. I think this is one that anyway. I've stopped.
Great introduction.
Yeah, we'll get right to it.
Transition.
Bartender Beef. Yo, TBP friends. I have been a big fan of the show for the past 5 years, and listening to you all is the best part of my Monday, which typically sucks, but at least makes my commute home reasonable.
Love to help.
I wanted to ask you guys for some help, as I know some of you work in a bar, and I believe all of you at one point were bartenders or worked at a restaurant. During the pandemic, I got a new job in a suburb near Sacramento, so I moved down here about 2 years ago. I found the perfect bar for me, great food, stiff drinks, chill vibes, and an awesome serving staff. During this time, I became friends with some of the staff, and we hang out fairly regularly outside of our regular interactions at the bar. A few months back, I ended up going home with one of the girls that works at this establishment. Nothing serious happened, and this really isn't about her. We fooled around a bit, but I didn't hit her home run, if you catch my drift. We got you, bro. This girl and I have always flirted, but besides that night, nothing has really happened between the two of us, and it really wasn't that serious, and we still see each other, and it's very casual and chill. She mentioned that she was actually talking to one of the bartenders at her work, so it would be best if we didn't hook up, even though they weren't exclusive at all. She thought it might be a bad look. As it turns out, the guy she was talking to, in quotes, was the bar manager. Prior to knowing any of this, me and the bar manager never really hit it off. He's got a real stick up his butt. He's a real by-the-book kind of guy. Never really greets any of the regulars any different than he would someone walking into the bar for the first time. Never really hooks it up. Never took the time to get to know me, even though I go in there several times a week on my way home from work. In any case, word got back to this guy that me and the gal he was interested in had a very casual, no big deal night together, and now this dude is a complete jerk to me. He will make it a point to serve everyone else before serving me, oftentimes ignoring me entirely until someone else serves me. He will make backhanded compliments, he'll make backhanded comments, and be generally passive aggressive towards me. Recently, I went in there on a date, and he was working. Apparently, the other bartender that was scheduled had a call out sick at the very last minute, so he's running by the bar by himself. I understand that this is incredibly stressful and was willing to be patient. However, he took 20 minutes before even dropping menus to us and getting us waters. He didn't even take our order for our first drink until 40 minutes after we had sat down. My date and I decided to go elsewhere for food based on how long he was taking to serve us. My question for you all is, what do I do about this situation? I know I could go to another bar, but this bar is my favorite. It's my bar. I love this place. It's right down the street, meets all my needs. Why would I go somewhere else just because this guy is a jerk? What should I do? I do not feel like I need to ingratiate myself to this guy since he kind of sucks anyway, but I also think it is completely uncalled for the way that he treats me. Over a girl that he isn't even dating, and they're not even talking anymore from what I understand. Please help. I really don't want to have to go over his head and mention it to the owners, whom I do know in passing, and we know each other by first name and so on, but I feel like that's kind of a low bar move. I also really love this bar, and I don't want to be a free agent bar patron. Please help. Well, he's in a pickle.
Yeah.
That sucks. That really sucks.
If I were him, the only way to get, I don't know, talk to ownership.
Everyone knows the owner in a bar, yeah. So you're not that special, I'm going to tell you. That being said, you're kind of just kind of, if you want to continue at this bar, you should have to suck it up whenever he's there.
Yeah.
You know, you can try to buy his love, because ultimately, when it comes down to it, bartenders, we are money-grubbing whores.
Yeah, we love money. Yeah,
so
that's
if you want to tip him fat and just say, hey,
Tip fat.
Even when he's terrible at serving you, still tip him fat. And you're like, okay, you start realizing. Do it a couple times. If he's still terrible, stop tipping him.
Stop wasting your money.
Yeah. If you don't get anything better. And then if not, you're just going to have to realize that, you know, this guy is a very petty person. He's not the most fun person. I bet you everyone else there that works there probably doesn't like him that much. Mm-hmm. So you can always just bond over that aspect with them even more. Like, man, this guy is terrible with me every single time. The employees will probably talk to him about it, especially if you're really great with them. If you establish yourself in a bar and you're good, bartenders want you in there.
100%.
Again, we want your money.
Yeah. That's okay? right.
And if you're not dropping the right money. If you're dropping the right amount of money in there, you'll be able to find your way, your seat will stay warm there, is what I'll tell you. So
yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Another thing, you mentioned that you're friends with a lot of these folks. Can't you find out homie's schedule and just try to avoid
not
the nights he's
those,
there?
Yeah.
No, if he's a bar manager there, he's probably there quite a bit, five days a week.
But,
you know, if one of the people that you get along with, find out what the schedule is. And if they're there and they're behind the bar too, then, you know, you probably won't have to interact with them. So I would try that route. Aaron, did we miss anything on this one?
Nah, he'll get over it eventually. Unfortunately, it seems like you just got to ride it out.
Yeah.
If you can find him a girl, that's the quickest way for him to get over it.
Yeah. Hey, this is my friend.
Yeah, exactly.
You start going on Hinge and finding him dates.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Listen, I know you wanted to meet me, but really, I'm trying to get this
guy
to be cool
with me. I'll pay you to go hit on that guy
right there.
And I'll buy you drinks for the night.
Yeah.
You don't have to take him home. Just be nice to
just be nice. Make him feel confident about himself.
Yeah. There you go.
I like that.
All right, Aaron, we appreciate it. Excellent as always, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Oh, best of luck, Aaron. I'm sorry your house is going to be divided with a little Niner.
Oh, that's right.
Her and her husband.
Oh, no.
She didn't want to hear it. Okay.
Is her husband a Packer fan?
Or no,
she's a Packers fan.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's a big Brett Favre gal back in the day.
She was,
right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Brett Favre was the guy.
Damn.
Rudy, do you want to do some picks, sir?
Yeah, I'll do some picks real quick.
All right. Give me a second here.
I tell you, it's just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy. Dan Rudy.
Oh, that wasn't the gambling again. It's been a day.
Yeah, it's whatever.
You get it.
Gambling again.
I'm gambling again.
All right. New week, new money.
That's right, baby.
Let's go. Let's see what I got this weekend. I got the Bills at home over the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are frauds. They gave it to Miami, but Miami sucks. And I think the Bills are playing better than they have been. It is Josh Allen, and he's going to run it all over that defense. So Bills money line all day. And my favorite sport to bet on is back, baby. Yes, I'm talking about golf. Golf is hot and up and running. The American Express is this weekend, and we got some beautiful odds. Beautiful odds that I love. I'm rolling with my boy, Ricky Fowler, at plus 4,000. Jason Day at plus 4,000 as well. And Shane Lowry at plus 5,000. Those are to win outright. I haven't done my top 10s or top 20s yet, but that's who I'm rolling to win this weekend. I'm staying away from the Niner game. It is a big spread, and I just want to sweat it out as being a Niner fan, not having any money on it. So that's what I'm going to roll with. I might do like a first touchdown. Debo's plus 500, and CMC's plus 300. So I might dribble some or dabble with that. But, yeah, that's about it.
I like it.
Make that money, baby.
Let's go get it, boys.
Yes, sir. You got some grinds my gears. I got a couple things I want to get off my chest here.
Yeah, I have a couple, too.
Oh, wonderful. All right, I'm going to start, then we'll just kind of go around. We'll figure this out.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Streaming. We all wanted the old a la carte menu. Then we got the a la carte menu. And now we're paying more money to have all the channels and access to all the games that we want than we were before. You know, it would be a great idea if someone took all the streaming networks, put it in one place, and we just paid a flat rate every month and had all the things we want. Oh, wait, we did. It was called cable.
Yep.
We just can't really figure this media thing out, can we? It's really, really annoying to me.
Amen to that.
Derek?
Yeah.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Car alarms. Why the hell do we have car alarms still to this day? They don't do anything except annoy the living daylights out of you. If a car alarm is being heard, you're not going out there to say, oh my gosh, is my car being stolen? No, you're thinking to yourself, why the hell doesn't that shut up already? You're like, if you're going to steal it, steal it. Like, stop having it there. If it was being stolen, I wouldn't hear the car alarm anymore. Then I would worry.
Yeah.
No. The car alarms do nothing except just are awful. They go off on anything. A little loud noise that goes by, car alarms are going off. They don't do anything except just remind you of how annoying they are. So, yeah.
I like that.
All right, Rude Dog.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Kids, adults, whoever you are, teenagers that wear sandals at the damn gym. Birkenstocks or just walk around with their shoes on. or shoes off. It's I go to a certain gym in town, and it's every day. There's 5 or 6, 7 kids that are walking around in Birkenstocks, sandals.
Are they like in like the workout area? Because I walk into 100%. The gym with like sandals on, and I change in.
No, they're the working out, pumping weight. With sandals.
With sandals on.
All right.
I
can't.
In that case, no. I want that to happen, and I want just weights to fall on their feet.
It's going to happen, won't it? Yes.
No, I want that. I don't want to grind. I want someone to get hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with you. Speaking of.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Kids in the gym, period.
Yeah.
There's a place. There's literally a kid center at our gym. You could go drop them off, have them babysat.
Oh, you're talking about children, not. No, high school kids.
Yeah, high school kids, I get it. I'm talking about children.
Okay.
There's been multiple times recently where a parent's working out and their kid's just hanging out nearby.
Standing next to them, yeah.
No. 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 Right. It's not a place for kids. All right, Derek, sorry.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Red onions. They're purple. Why are we calling them red onions? Purple onions. They're purple.
They are purple. They ain't red.
I do love a good red onion.
I was going to say, I'm with red onions.
But they're purple.
But you want